We're going to talk about the gift of answered prayer. And it is great to see God answering prayer, isn't it? How many of us have God has answered prayer for you this week? How many has God's answered a prayer for you this week? Isn't it neat that that's a gift that God gives to you to be able to do that? Last week, I asked you guys to be praying for Melody and Tanya Richardson. Actually, not Tanya Richardson anymore, but she was 7 months along and went into preeclampsia. Well, I want to tell you, this week she delivered that baby 2 months early. The baby weighs 2 pounds, 11 ounces. Yeah, let's give God a hand for that, for what He's done. Being 2 months early, they were afraid that the baby's lungs had not developed and would not be able to breathe on its own. And as of yesterday, or the day before yesterday, the baby's oxygen level was still at 99%. Was not on any oxygen outside, just the air that the baby was breathing. And the lungs were doing very, very well. And the mother was doing well, and everybody is doing well. Even at 2 pounds, 11 ounces. It was kind of neat as they emailed pictures to us this week. If you just take the father's hand and lay out beside the baby, it's almost as big as that little girl. And so we're thankful to God that God answered our prayer. And I really take that as a gift that God answered our prayer. We're going to talk about how God answered the prayer for Zechariah. And Zechariah here, God answered his prayer. I mean, he had been praying for years. And God answered his prayer through the birth of John. And so let's look at the gift of answered prayer today in the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to begin with verse 56. Luke chapter 1 and verse 56. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months. Then she returned to her home. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she had a son. Then her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her his great mercy and rejoiced with her. When they came to circumcise the child on the eighth day, they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother responded, "No, he will be called John." Then they said to her, "None of your relatives has that name." So they motioned to his father to find out what he wanted him to be called. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they were all amazed. Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came on all those who lived around them, and all these things were being talked about throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard about him took it to heart, saying, "What will this child become? For indeed the Lord's hand was with him." Let's pray again today. Let's do that. Father, I ask you right now that you just be with me as I share your word. God, in these moments that I come to proclaim your word, Lord, I pray that your truth would be abounding here today. And God, I pray that you challenge lives and you challenge hearts. And God, that we would go out of this place different today because, God, you answer prayer. Thank you that you do. Thank you for that gift that you give us regularly, answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this gift of God answering Zechariah's prayer, we're going to find, first of all, Zechariah's prayer was answered in the birth of John. The birth of John, he had been praying for a son for years and years and years. And then when he was in the in doing the evening sacrifice, and God told him, "Zechariah, your wife Elizabeth's going to be come with child, and he's going to deliver a son, and you're going to call his name John." You see, God had given the child the name. It wasn't Elizabeth and Zechariah's choice to name the boy and to name the child. It was God who said, "His name will be called John." And I find that very interesting because John means gracious one. The word and the name John means gracious one. And so here again, God was beginning to do a work of grace. God was beginning to issue in a new era, and that era was an era of grace. And so that's the reason why that I believe that the name was significant, because John was the beginning of the era of grace. He was the one that had not only been prayed for by Zechariah and Elizabeth, but he was the one that had been prayed for by the generations past who could not keep the law. You see, there was no way that you, or no way that I, or no way that anyone else had ever kept the fullness of the law. There was just no way possible. The law shows us that we are sinners. And now with John, he's beginning to give a new era of grace. We find here in this passage of Scripture that I read here today that here was Zechariah and Elizabeth, and Elizabeth went there to give birth, and she had a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they rejoiced with her. You see, up until this point in time, evidently not all and not everybody around them knew that she was pregnant. She had kind of went into seclusion. And then the last 3 months, she had Mary there with her. And so she hadn't been publicly, and she hadn't been out and about. And not everybody around them knew that she was pregnant. And now here is this grandmother giving birth to her first son in her old age. And everybody rejoiced with her. Everybody's kind of shocked. Everybody's kind of shocked that here is this older lady that was well past her childbearing years was now giving birth to a new boy. They were amazed and they rejoiced with her. And they said, well, surely we're going to call him Zechariah. We're going to call him Little Junior. Zechariah Junior. People always ask me, is KJ or Kenneth James, is he Junior? I said, no, he's not Junior, he's KJ. And he's not Junior. I swore I'd never name a kid Kenneth. And here I went and done it. But he's not a junior, but he has the same name that I do. And you know what? My wife would not let me name Sadie Jo. I'm still hurt over that. I wanted to name her Kazia. Huh? That's what they all said too, Bruce. Huh? It sounded like somebody was sneezing. But every once in a while, I still call her Kazia. And by the way, it's a biblical name. You all can look it up later when you want to. You probably don't want to. But anyway, it is a biblical name, and so it is a great name. But my wife would not let me name her Kazia. I don't think God necessarily gave us the name. I'm giving thumbs up over here. But I still call her Kazzy every once in a while, just for good measure. But God had given the name of John. And you know, there was a little bit of stubbornness here on behalf of the neighbors and the relatives. And by the way, neighbors and relatives are fine, but they probably shouldn't name your children. You know what I mean? You could have some weird names if you let your neighbors. But you know, they was trying to be gracious. They was trying to be nice to Zechariah. Here's this old man having a baby, and his very first, well, his wife had the baby, but he was there present, and they was going to be real nice to him and name him Zechariah. Elizabeth and Zechariah had talked about it and said, no, his name is going to be John. Because that's what the angel had told him. That's what Gabriel told him, and they were going to obey what God said. And there's a lot of importance in that, folks, to obey what God tells you. When God tells you something specifically, do what He says. And Elizabeth said, no, his name's going to be John. And so they thought they'd go the next step up on the chain, said, okay, his name's, you know, not Zechariah by you. You may call him John, but what's his dad say? We'll just go ask Dad. Did you guys ever do that growing up? You asked Mom, and Mom said no, so you went and asked Dad. Or vice versa. How many of you ever played that game? What do you mean, look? But anyway, or vice versa. And so they come and say, well, what do you say, Zechariah? And he motioned for a tablet. Remember, he was struck dumb. I was thinking about that earlier today. That's happened to me several times. But anyway, but not speechless dumb, but anyway, I won't go there. But I've always had a word to say most of the time. He couldn't talk. Hadn't been able to talk now for 9 months. Probably a little quietness going on in the house. And so, and they said, what do you want to call him, Zachariah? You want to call him Zachariah, don't you? They're being stubborn. Being stubborn is pressing your own will, knowing that you want to get what you want done. You see, Zachariah and Elizabeth had a conviction because God had said something to them, and they were not going to waver off what God says. They was not going to waver off what God said. So I want to ask you in your life, do you live by stubbornness? Of having, I'm going to have my will, I want to have my way, or do you operate your life by conviction? God's told me this, and I will not back off of it. I will not back off what God said. It's not stubbornness when God's told you something and you're obeying God. You're doing exactly what God says. If you're obeying your own will and your own wants and your own wishes, that's stubbornness. We're going to look at that a little bit later on here. And so Zechariah got a piece of paper. Actually, it was not a piece of paper back then. It was probably a piece of wood that was waxed. And then they would write into the wax. It was kind of their way of a chalkboard. And he wrote into the wax very plainly, his name is John. And immediately when he said that, the days had been fulfilled and God opened his mouth and he could begin to speak. And I'm sure that was kind of a prayer request too, don't you think? If you hadn't been able to talk for 9 months and a week, don't you think you'd want to be able to say something? Don't you think he'd talk to God about that? Don't you think he had repented and ask God to forgive him of his lack of faith? And now Zechariah could talk. He could talk, and immediately when he said his name is John, he could talk, but also something else happened, and they were all amazed, and immediately his mouth was open, and his tongue was set free, and he began to speak, praising God. And then in verse 67, it says, then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. We find here that something really amazing, Zechariah's prayer was answered in him being filled with the Spirit of God. When Zechariah had said his name is John, almost instantaneously he began to be able to speak again, and instantaneous with that, he was filled with the Spirit of God. And there's a correlation here, and there's a connection. Because you and I will not be filled with the Spirit of God unless we're obedient to what God says. And let me say, obey what God does. I've had people all around me before say, well, I want to be filled with the Spirit of God, or I'm filled with the Spirit of God, and they're not following what God's telling them to do. I want you to know, if you're not following what God's telling you to do, there's absolutely no way that He'll fill you with His Spirit. He just wants, you need to be obedient to Him. And the Bible says to us that we're to be filled with the Spirit, not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what God wants us and how God wants us to live our lives. He wants us to live our lives as Spirit-filled people. That's God's choice for us. That's God's choice for us. And God's desire for us is to be filled with His Spirit. And you know, when we're talking about being filled with the Spirit of God, it's not necessarily us having more of God, but God having more of us. The old priest's last words had been one of doubt. Well, how's this going to happen? And basically saying, I don't believe it's going to happen. But his first word now was one of delight. His name's John. And he wanted back then to have a sign. But now he wanted to sing. And it's also interesting here, too, that last week we found that Elizabeth and Mary were together, and Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit of God. And again, now Zechariah was filled with the Spirit of God. And I want to ask you, are you filled with the Spirit of God? I know that when I trusted Christ as my Savior, that the Spirit of God entered me. He He indwelt me at that time. Some people would call that a baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was an indwelling of the Spirit of God, that God came to live inside of Ken Wilson. He came to take up residence in my life at that moment, at that time. I know He did, because a change took place in my life. Can I ask you, has that change ever taken place in your life? Has there been a time that you have repented of your sins and that you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior? And when you trust Christ, I know something changed, because I used to hate going to church. I used to dread it, and it hadn't been in a year. And when I got saved, that was the first place I wanted to go. I used to be able to pick up the Word of God, and it didn't make a bit of sense to me. How many has ever had that happen to you before? Didn't make a bit of sense to me whatsoever, and I had no desire to be in God's Word. I had no desire to go listen to preaching. I had no desire whatsoever. But when God saved me and the Spirit of God indwelt me, I then began to want to read God's Word. And then I also, something else happened, I began to understand more of God's Word. Pretty neat thing. And then also, I wanted Him to fill my life. And I wanted Him to be in control of my life. Wherein previously, I wanted to do it myself. And I can tell you that when the Spirit of God entered me, it made a huge, huge difference. And living my life not drunk with wine anymore, you see, when you're drunk with wine, you're out of control, correct? The wine or the alcohol takes over, correct? I mean, you can take a nice guy, get him drunk, and he may be the meanest person there is alive. Or some people, when they get to drinking, they loosen up and are enjoyable to be around. I'm serious. Have you ever had anybody like that? They were not any fun to be around at all until they got drunk. I'm not saying that they should go out and get drunk, okay? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. They need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And when you are filled with the Spirit of God, that is the Holy Spirit, and He will control. He will be the one that's guiding your life, and then you can really have fun. Then you can really allow Him to do great things in your life. But I challenge you today, if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, allow Him, open yourself and say, God, I ask You today to fill me afresh and anew in my life. I confess to You anything in my life, God, that's not right with You. I ask You to right now to come in and show me, and I'll confess it. Fill me with Your Spirit. And the old prophet began to sing. This is a song that Zechariah had written here as a prophecy. Zechariah's prayer was answered through his own prophecy. Actually, it was God's prophecy, because he was filled with the Spirit of God, but his prayer was answered through his own prophecy. There was, first of all, and by the way, our prayers ought to be like this as well. There was a prayer and a word of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. That was the first words out of his mouth. God loosened his lips and let him go. And the first words out of his mouth was, praise God. When's the last time that you've had something that you really wanted to praise God for? When's the last time deep down within you, you couldn't help it, but you just had to say, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. You see, for a long time, they had forgot that there was a God in Israel. For a long time, the God of Israel had not appeared. For a long time, the God of Israel had been silent. He had been quiet. And I want to tell you what, when God is quiet and God is silent in your life, it's a difficult day. But now God had loosened his lips and he said, praise the Lord, the God of Israel. There is a God of Israel, as a praise of thanksgiving. Because he has visited and provided redemption for his people. Oh, I tell you what. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in His house of His servant David. As I was studying this and looking at this, it begins that He's raised up a horn of salvation. His first praise, Zechariah's first praise was not for his son John. Zechariah's first praise was for the fact that there was a God in Israel. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Praise the Lord. He was thanking God for salvation that was coming through Jesus Christ by the person of Mary. And we're going to talk about the birth and the gift that changed everything next week. But now here we find that Zechariah's first word was not about his own son, but was about the God who had sent salvation to Israel. He was thanking God for his Savior. When's the last time that you said, praise the Lord for Jesus? Praise the Lord for Jesus. There was thanksgiving. And then I was looking at the horn. It kind of struck me funny this week as I was studying about the horn of salvation. And it says, He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David. When it's talking about the horn there, usually talking about an ox horn. And one of the things that they had, a lot of their oxen hadn't been dehorned, and an ox will gore you. An ox will get you down and work you over. Now, I grew up on a dairy farm, and we raised Jersey cows and had Jersey cows, and we had Jersey bulls, and Jersey bulls have a notoriety of being mean. They can get they may be little, but they're ornery. Kind of like that little person, you know, come up and smack you in the ear and take off running. You can't catch them. But, I mean, these bulls may have been little, but a lot of times, if you tease them, they would get ornery and they'd get mean. One time, I wasn't where my mom thought I was supposed to be, and the first place she went to look, see if I crawled in the bull barn. I didn't want to get in the bullpen. I knew better to get in the bullpen at an early age. But they would, that bull, Missouri Joe, we called him. For whatever reasons, he had horns for a while, and he knew how to use them. We had dehorned him and taken the horns off. But we had one little bull that got mean. He was not a very big bull. He run my mom out of the pasture. My dad got mad at him because he ran my mom out of the pasture. My dad said, well, I'll take care of him. And so my dad goes out there. My mom would probably be more likely to take care of him than my dad would have. But we got out there, my dad got out there with that bull, and that bull put my dad out of the pasture. I mean, not a really big bull, but he got them. He hadn't dehorned him yet, and he got those horns, and he was working dad over all the way to the fence. I'm not going to tell you what happened after that. The bull departed our place. We ate him. But the horns of an ox would gore. And so he's talking about something that's powerful. And I always laughed. How many have ever seen these movies and these guys got horns on their helmet? I thought, that's stupid. How many have ever thought that before? That's just stupid looking. Folks, it wasn't for looks. Because a lot of their battles at that day and time were done in hand-to-hand combat. And not only could they get you with the sword, they could get you with the horn. And that's what they would duck their head down, and they would use them as a weapon. So you guys are going to come back with horns on anyway. It was used as a weapon. That was not just for show on top of their head. They used them for a purpose. And God said here, and it was talking about a powerful Savior. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, just as He has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets in ancient times, salvation from our enemies and from the clutches of those who hate us. He has dealt mercifully with our fathers and remembered His holy covenant, the oath that He swore to our father Abraham. He has given us the privilege since we have been rescued from our enemy's clutches to serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness and in His presence all our days. Wow. The clutches of our enemy. I want you to know something today. Our enemy, the devil, is alive. Our enemy, the devil, is alive, and he's ready to reach out and grab you if you let him. Reach out in the clutches. He said he's rescued us from the clutches of the enemy. You have a very real enemy today. You have a very real enemy, and the devil hates you. He does everything he can to destroy you. In those clutches of the enemy, he said he has set us free. It was God's word. There was a word about God's word being fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Also in the person of John the Baptist. But we find here that there was a word about God's word being fulfilled and that God had kept his word. He said he had promised it to Abraham. He swore it to him, and now he's doing it. And I want you to know God keeps his word. You may not keep your word, or I may not keep my word. I don't intentionally ever not keep my word. But I can tell you this, God always keeps his word. His word is sure. His promises are yea and nay. And I want you to know when God gives you a word, you can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. It may not happen right now. It may not happen when you think it's going to happen. But when God shares something, and God gives you a word, it will take place. And as I was sitting back thinking this week about all the times that God has shared something with me and God's told me something, and every time God said something and every time God shared something, it happened exactly the way that he said. I remember before I got ready to come to Michigan, and this is one of the neat ones that and I can share ones with you that's even more recent than that, but before I got ready to come to Michigan, I was pastoring United Missionary and having a great time, thought I'd be there the rest of my life, and God told me I wouldn't. God told me I would be leaving. He didn't tell me where I was going. But he said that your church is going to have 100 days of kingdom impact. And that began. It began on Memorial Day. And it ended about 2 weeks after Labor Day. That's about 100 days, 3 months, a little over 3 months. And I didn't understand that when God told me that. Has God ever shared something with you and you just didn't totally understand what he was sharing? He said, you're going to have 100 days of kingdom impact. You're going to have a lot of people saved during that period of time. And actually, he said, you'll have 100 people saved during that period of time. And folks, there was 82 that I kept score of. 82 people that I knew came to faith in Jesus Christ in those 100-day period of time. And I think there was probably more than that. But that was a conservative estimate of ones that I actually had privilege myself being part of and present with. 100 people. 82 people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. God also told me after 100 days that I wouldn't be pastor there no more. And after that 100 days, guess what? I wasn't pastor there no more. God had called me to come here to Michigan. That's so fresh in my mind. God told me, I'm going to move you. And when I move you, you'll know it's me and not you. God did. And it was him and not me. Folks, when God tells you, God is always faithful. And I want to tell you what, God's always faithful to this here. God's always faithful to all kinds of papers falling out here. God's always faithful to his word. He's always faithful to his word. Zechariah then had a word of prophecy for his son. He had a word of prophecy for his boy. Listen to what it says in the beginning of verse. And child. All this up to this time you'd think of it. First thing it said, that's my boy. I've been waiting all my life. That's my boy. That's my boy. Then he says to the child, and child. Now John, the one of grace. the gracious one. You will be called a prophet of the Most High, and you will go before the Lord to prepare His way, to give His people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of our God's merciful compassion. And dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He said, now, son, you're going to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. You're going to be great, and God's going to use you. There was a blessing here on his son. There was a blessing that God, that Zechariah had given to his son through this prophecy. And folks, I want you to know, we need to be blessing our children, not cursing them. We need to give the opportunity of God to bless them. He was speaking a word of prophecy over his son, and a prophet on the Most High, and you'll go before the Lord to prepare his way. What a word. Isn't that the desire of every parent, of every Christian parent, that God would use their children? Isn't that a desire? As a pastor, it's my desire that God use my children. It was our prayer, Cindy and I's prayer, as they were, before they were ever born, and even before they would ever conceive, that God would use our children, that God would use our children wherever He chose, and to do whatever He wanted with them. And it's neat to be able to see what God's doing in their lives. I'm not going to embarrass them and talk about any of that, but it's neat to see what God's doing in Luke's life and in Andrea's life and KJ and Sadie Joe. Yeah, God can use even a little 2.5-year-old. Amen? And I tell you, it was a blessing yesterday. She curled up on the couch next to me and went to sleep. And so many times in my life, I've been so busy that I've missed that. And I just took that little girl and stopped reading the book that I was reading and stopped, got off my computer and just put my arm around her, because she wanted me to put my arm around her when we sat there, and just sat there and held her for a while up next to me. And I tell you what, those were precious moments. God used that to touch me. And I want you to know, God is still at work today. We need to speak. Well, let's look at real life. Real life today. When God doesn't answer our prayers as quickly as we think He should, don't give up. Don't give up. How many of you have ever prayed and you thought God ought to be Johnny on the spot, be right there? God, I prayed it yesterday, and you've not answered it yet. What's wrong, God? You got a problem? Now, we probably wouldn't say that, but have we not thought that before? God, I asked you yesterday about this. Here's what I've come to conclusion. God answers our prayers on His time, not on our time. He's never late. We may think He is. How come you hadn't answered our prayer? We've been praying for a son for ages. And now my wife's too old and I'm an old man and there's no way it's going to happen. And God said, not with me. All things are possible with me. When you think that you've got it figured out and it's going to be on your time, not necessarily on your own conditions. Not necessarily. God does it the way He wants to do it. And when you're praying for somebody, how many has prayed for somebody to come to faith in Christ and you've prayed for him for a long time? Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Keep on asking God. Keep on trusting that He's going to do what He said He would do. Don't give up. That's real life, folks, because we have a tendency to give up. We have a tendency to say, well, God didn't answer in this period of time, and so evidently He doesn't know me and He doesn't like me anymore and He's upset with me because God didn't answer. Folks, there are things in life that takes time. Here's something else. We need to live our life by conviction and not by stubbornness. If God's given you a word, If God has shared something with you, then you have every right to stand on that conviction, because this is the Word. If God says something in His Word and somebody is telling you something contrary to this Word, then you live by your convictions. Right? If God has given you a Word, you stand on His Word and don't back off. Don't deter to the right or to the left, but you do exactly what God said in His Word. However, if it's your own preferences, you don't have really a right to be stubborn about it. You don't have a right to be stubborn about it. And then kind of wrote something here. Stubbornness wants its own way at any price. It's the quality of someone who will not listen to a better idea, who acts simply in order to exert the power of his or her will. That's stubbornness. You know, we only operate to exert our own will. I just want you to know, I have a tendency to be stubborn. And I know I have that tendency to be stubborn in some areas. Do you? No, not me. Not me. The people here that was coming to John, they were being stubborn. No, we're going to name him Zechariah because that's Zechariah's name. There's never been anybody in his family named John yet. And why should we name this baby John? Let's go to the dad and ask the dad. They were being stubborn. But I'm going to tell you what, Zechariah and Elizabeth were operating out of conviction. Conviction is the settled confidence that God is leading you and you intend to follow come what may. Conviction isn't your will against sound advice of others. It is your will surrendered to God's will. It's your will surrendered to God's will. And that's convictions. Convictions are something you can die by. You can live by and you can die by your convictions. But don't die by your stubbornness. Husbands, don't be stubborn. Wives, don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn. We need to live our lives filled with the Spirit of God. We need to live our lives filled with the Spirit of God. Of God having control of us. Does God have control of you this morning? Life questions here. Real life. Does God have control of your life? If he doesn't, you need to let him have control of it today. While raising our children, we need to speak blessings into their lives, not curses. I think that's huge in child rearing, is to speak blessings to our children. I don't talk about it a lot, but there was a lot of my life growing up that my parents didn't, But I have brothers and sisters that teased me unmercifully at times, told me I was so stupid that I had to have a map to get to the barn, and multiple other things that they told me through that period of time. But I tell you what, I'm thankful that I had a mother who spoke blessings. You wasn't really wanted. You was an accident or you was adopted. Was I adopted? No, we really wanted you. And you know, one day she proved it. In her yearbook, she wrote that she won 5 little Indians. Well, she had 4 little Indians and a squaw. Because there's 4 boys and a girl. She won 5 kids. She went back to her senior yearbook of things that she wanted in life. She won 5 children. She said, "You're the 5th one. I wanted you." And I am thankful. Next time my brother said, "You wasn't wanted. You're just an accident." I said, "Uh-uh, Mom's yearbook told me that I was wanted. You may have been the accident." But anyway, speaking of that, you don't look like the rest of us either. Oh, well, now I'm getting into family meddling. Folks, in Illinois, there's a place called Anna. It's where the mental institution was at. You'll end up in Anna one day. You'll end up in prison one of these days. Oh, yeah? Or you'll end up in the psych ward or at the mental institution. No? Well, actually, I pastored in Anna. I had to think about that one for a while. But, you know, don't listen to the curses. And we need to bless our children and say, man, you can do anything God wants you to do. God has His hand on you. God's got a plan for you. And you, son, you're going to be the forerunner. You're going to be the one that you get to announce the coming of the King. You are going to be great. You're going to turn a lot of people. Did Zechariah know everything that was going to happen to John? Did he know that John would be one out in the wilderness eating locusts and honey? And I guess locust honey. But anyway, he was out there eating locusts and honey, dressed weird, and was calling the nation of Israel to repent. I don't think John knew all that. He knew that God would use him to call Israel to repent. Did John know that John the Baptist, or did Zechariah know that John would someday challenge the Roman authority and say, you are living in sin because you're living with your brother's wife? And as a result of that, he'd be executed with his head chopped off? John didn't know that. Zechariah didn't know that. All Zechariah knew was God was going to use him to be the forerunner of the Christ, and God kept His word. Ask blessings on your children and not curses. Thank God for answered prayer. And some of you are saying, well, I'm about ready to give up on this, whatever it may be. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on going on. Even though it may be tough, keep on. Keep on petitioning. Keep on praying. And let God do His work in His time. Would you stand with me this morning? Father, I come to you today.